Welcome back to Second and Short. It is Monday, April 14th, 2025. Rory McIlroy completes the career Grand Slam in his 11th Masters, beating Justin Rose in a playoff, so he is now a Masters champion and the sixth all-time to get the career Grand Slam. The early going of the MLB season has been eventful, to say the least. The Braves got their first win on the road. We also won the series against the Phillies. We lost the series against the Rays, which is a problem.
Who are the Braves, bro?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know.
Me neither. Who are you a fan of?
The Athletics.
Traitor. I'm still a Braves fan. I'm going to live and die by them for the next 160 games or 150 games.
I'm a J.D. Davis fan. That's what it is.
Sunday Night Baseball is on right now. Cubs-Dodgers. Don't even bother turning that game on. Yesterday was 16-0, so we'll see how that goes. NFL Draft, week and a half away. Which means the third annual Draft Night Special is as well live on YouTube. We're going to go live at like 7:50-ish. I haven't really nailed down a time just yet. But
7:52.
7:50-something is when we'll be going live right here on YouTube. It'll also be on TikTok, but we'll urge everybody on TikTok to come over to the YouTube. Live, 7:50, April 24th. Me, Colin, Nathan, Luke, Mike. All in person.
Me?
I said you. Yeah. Yes. Actually, no, I just took back your invite. he just threw his phone. I don't know if you guys could see that. But yes, live on YouTube. Make sure you guys tune in. It's the third time we've done it. Second time we've done it live. It is a blast. It is like our favorite thing to do every single year. Please tune in to the Draft Night Special. After you're done listening to this episode today, you should go back and listen to my Mock Draft 2.0 on YouTube. As well. That one doing pretty well. Happy with the reception of that one. It's doing well on TikTok as well. So shout out to the people.
How do you feel about that compared to your first mock draft?
Definitely feel a lot better about mock draft 2. I think that's kind of the point.
Yeah. I saw you throwing a little Browns trading up for another first round pick.
Yeah. Me and Luke talked about it a little bit on Monday, on Friday's episode. So I don't want to get into that trade a lot. But,
and you know, I don't listen to
the whole point.
Sorry.
All right. The whole point of that trade would be to get Jackson Dart under an extra year under contract if you move into the first round. Whatever. Go watch that. We got an MLB recap to do today. We're going to do our Falcons draft preview. So we had initially kind of said it was a Falcons mock draft. We're going to talk a little bit about like what we think the Falcons need, what their approach should be, just a couple different things, maybe some like what we're seeing in other people's mock drafts, what we think the Falcons should do, whatever it is. And then we're going to do a 7-round mock draft, like a simulated 7-round mock draft just for the Falcons at the end of that. We're going to talk about the Masters a little bit, and we'll wrap things up with game time. Before we get into anything, we had a kind of crazy headline come out this morning that's like really odd. So we're going to keep the conversation to a minimum. But we just want to say rest in peace to Kyren Lacy. A sticky situation, to say the least. Very confusing. I believe something with his case was supposed to start like tomorrow or soon, and then they found him dead on Saturday night. So thoughts and prayers to anybody affected. Not the time to be making jokes, I'll just say that. People are. I would ignore them if I were you. But, not a good situation. We'll say that. And then we're just going to move on from there because I don't think there's any more discourse regarding it. Rest in peace to Kyren Lacy. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the MLB recap. I don't have any other headlines to talk about. Justin Steele, we got this news like a couple hours ago. That's why it's at the top. Justin Steele going to get reconstructive elbow surgery and miss the remainder of the season.
That's a huge blow for the Cubs.
Yeah, they don't know if it's necessarily Tommy John yet. They haven't decided. I don't know what that means.
Either way, it's a season-ending injury, and they just started the season.
Yeah, and the Cubs are off to a great start. And they just beat the Dodgers 16-0 yesterday. That really sucks.
So is it, like, once we get to, like, when trades are happening, are they going to be buyers for pitching?
I mean, you got to keep winning if you want to be a buyer. It's kind of hard to know right now.
Shota can't do everything.
No. They're going to need some help in the starting rotation.
Who's pitching tonight?
That's for sure. Let's see. Colin Ray.
He's not bad.
No. But not ideal Yeah, the Cubs are going to have to figure something out because Justin Steele is a big missing hole in that rotation without him. Let's go on to something else that happened today. Garrett Crochet took a no-hitter into the eighth. Kind of crazy. it was ended after 7.1 innings on a Chase Midroth single to left field.
Didn't that guy just get called up?
I think he's been up for the whole start of the season, I believe.
Because what? Yeah,
he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's insane.
Yeah. But Garrett Crochet looked great. That pitch, 96th pitch of the game, so I'm sure he was ready to come out either way.
Nah, he had it.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he did.
No. Nonetheless, 7 no-hit innings, final line, 7.1, 1 hit, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. Great day Fabulous. For Garrett Crochet. Yeah. The White Sox still won the series, though. 2-0. 2-1, sorry, over the Red Sox. After 8 straight losses, Boston then lost back-to-back. And earlier in the week, before going on this road trip, the Boston announcers said on the broadcast that Chicago invents new ways to lose every day. And then they proceeded to lose to them 2 times in a row. That's hilarious. Trevor Story, been an interesting guy for the Red Sox so far this year. Playing pretty well.
He's been playing fantastic.
Yeah. He was 3-for-4 today with 3 RBIs. Put him at a batting average of .308 with 3 homers, 20 hits, and 8 RBIs on the season.
Fantastic pickup for the Red Sox.
I mean, and he's been there for a couple years now.
Yeah, but...
but he just never did anything.
This is like the first year he's panned out because he's been fighting injuries.
Yeah.
Can't stay on the field. Bad performances, and it's finally just all happening.
Awful. Okay, we got an interesting stat. Yeah, so before this game, Boston Red Sox in the last 7 days had 0 home runs and struck out 62 times.
Awesome. How many times is that Devers striking out?
Well, I mean, Devers had turned it around for the most part. Obviously not today, but he had turned it around for like that week, like the first week of April. But second week of April, not the time for the Red Sox. Another pitching performance to talk about, Hunter Green. He just won't be stopped. He won't be. 7 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. The ERA drops to .98 on the season.
I mean, he's been killing it.
He is unbelievable. Shout out to myself for picking him to win NL Cy Young. Right now, number 1 in MLB.com's pitcher power rankings.
Is Schwelly too?
No, but he is on the list. I believe Schwelly was like 8.
Mm. He's been good.
He's been great. But he had also only made 2 starts when they put out that list. So that was the issue. What?
.93?
Yeah, I mean, he's a reliever. He should have that. No, well, he might be. I don't know who the closer is right now for the Reds, I'll be honest. But interesting little fun fact about Hunter Green, because I love looking at Baseball Savant after one of his starts. He threw 54 fastballs, and they were the 54 fastest pitches by any pitcher in this game.
Well, who is he pitching against? Yeah, there you go. There's your answer.
Mladzinski. But also, like, when 7 people other than Hunter Green throw in a game, somebody should throw higher than like 99.
From Hilton Head.
Oh shit, we got the same birthday. But in Nathan's birth year, unk. Man, shout out Carmen.
Man, grew up in Hilton Head, South Carolina.
Nice. Very cool. But yeah, Hunter Green's awesome. Also, I had a fun fact on the podcast on Friday about Hunter Green. I don't know if it still stands true, but considering he only gave up 2 hits, I'm going to say it still does stand. This season, nobody's gotten a hit off his slider.
How many times has he thrown up?
How many times has he thrown up?
In
0.
A game this year?
0. He has not thrown up at all. So he's got 2 left.
He's due.
Yeah, he's due. He is due. Giants came back from down 3-0 today versus the Yankees to win 5-4.
They've been off to a hot start.
They're awesome. They get the series win against the Yankees on the road. It's the first time that the Giants have won a series in New York against the Yankees.
This is also like the best start they've had since like back in the day.
Yeah, it's been a while. They're off to that 11-4 start, which unfortunately puts them second in their division, only a game ahead of the Dodgers, which is kind of just the price you pay in the NL West.
Yeah. Jung Ho Lee's been
unbelievable.
Killing it.
Unbelievable.
Batting .352?
Yeah. After today's game, put himself third in the MLB amongst qualified hitters in OPS, has a league-leading 8 doubles as well, and then that 11-4 start for the Giants is pretty fantastic. I'm so glad that I'm being vindicated, because I loved Jung-Ho Lee last year, and he started off fine, and then he got hurt for the year, and everybody just forgot about him. I'm glad he's getting some credit, and he's on a good team right now.
What is up with the... Why is Ben Rice leading off this game?
They can't decide who they want to bat leadoff. Because, like, I mean, we had Goldschmidt leading off a couple weeks ago. Now he's batting fourth.
At this point, just put Judge in the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's so weird.
Who the fuck this is J.C. Escarra?
I see Nathan... Nathan just gave me a weird look while looking at Baseball Savant, so I know he's got a good stat to give us. What you got?
Hunter Green? Yep. No. Love to look at his page. Has given up 10 hits this season. 9 on fastballs and 1 on a split finger.
Okay, so 1 on the splitter. So no slider hits.
Nope.
Okay.
An expected batting average on his slider of .078.
Nice.
And
yeah.
Nobody has gotten a hit, though.
Every time he has a start, I look at the hot zones, and his best zone is always outside the zone, low and away on a righty. Every time. It's crazy. The Cubs walloped the Dodgers on Saturday. 16-0. Unbelievable. It's the worst shutout loss the Dodgers have had in their franchise history. Michael Busch, 4-for-6 with a home run in his first at-bat. I was actually watching this game live with Jared. So he hits the home run in the first at-bat. Second at-bat, 2 runners on, gets robbed by Andy Páez in center field. So he could have had a second home run in the game. There would have been a 3-run home run in his second at-bat, still into the day, 4-for-6. He also flew out to the warning track in I think, the 8th inning.
But the Cubs' offense is insanely good.
Yeah. The thing is, when they're on, they're on.
Yeah.
They have some days where it's just like, whoa.
them adding Carson Kelly has been amazing.
Carson Kelly, 2 home run game, one of them off of a 40-mile-per-hour pitch from Miguel Rojas.
You see him impersonating Clayton Kershaw and Roshi?
He did Roki, did Yamamoto, and he did Clayton Kershaw. It was hilarious. Also, why is Nick Pivetta like pretty good? It's odd pickup for the Padres.
It was the Rockies, man.
I know it was against the Rockies, but 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, I mean, 1 walk.
He pitched well against
us. 10 Ks.
He pitched well against us.
Yeah. Chase Dolander had a pretty good start yesterday. He went like 7, I think, 6. Pretty good. Gave up like 2 runs. Mike Trout, we got to talk about this moment. He had his welcome to right field moment. an Astros fan. So Trout jumps up and makes a catch over the wall. And he clearly caught it first. And the Astros fan is in his glove.
And just yanks it.
And pulls the ball out. And the umpires called it foul. It was not the same as the Mookie Betts situation where they pulled like his whole glove off after he caught it. He caught it in foul territory, but once your glove leaves the confines of the field, it's anybody's ball. They're allowed to make a play on it just as much as you are. And I think, unlike the Mookie Betts one, this fan was extremely apologetic.
Yeah, he realized.
But it looked bad in the moment because he's an Astros fan.
Yeah, but after like everything calmed down, you could tell he was like.
Yeah, he felt really bad because it got called foul, too. It wasn't even an out.
Mike Trout called him down to the locker room after that.
Yeah.
And like they were talking about Mike Trout wasn't like, he was pissed in the moment, but afterwards he was he very understanding.
Yeah, and so what happened was after it happened, security has to go up and like escort them elsewhere.
Yeah.
So they didn't kick him out of the game. They just put them in different seats, which I respect. But then Trout invited them down to like the concourse below the stadium to meet with them, met the fan and his son as well who's there, and he gave the son a signed bat and signed the foul ball.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That they signed that ball.
Yeah. So that's Mike Trout just turning one Astros fan into an Angels fan.
Not necessarily an Angels fan. just a Mike Trout fan.
Yeah. Which it's nice to see like a young fan like Mike Trout, because I'm going to be honest, that kid probably hasn't been coherent since since Mike Trout's last MVP. It's kind of crazy.
I'm so happy Mike Trout's just like playing right now. Every time like I'm watching a game, I'm just like clinching. I was like he'll run to go make a catch, and I'm like, oh,
Yeah, like when I first saw the clip of him jumping up against the wall to get the foul ball, I'm like, why am I seeing this? Is he going to get hurt? But luckily, he was fine. I'm glad to just see him playing. He's doing great. Can we see Mike Trout's stats on the season, Nathan? I believe he hit his 384th career home run.
Angels aren't playing horrible baseball.
No, they're not. It's just they're not better than most teams.
Better than the Astros.
Trout went 0 for 4 today. Yeah, 6 home runs, tied for first with Tyler Soderstrom and Aaron Judge. Hell yeah. Love that Mike Trout's playing well. Makes me so happy.
Gets that average up, he'll be back in business.
Yeah, yeah. All right, the Athletics did maybe... He has 11 hits.
11 hits, and he scored 9 times. He's got 11 hits and 11 strikeouts.
I thought you were highlighting it because it was 9-11 on there. I was like, what the hell does that have to do with the Angels? he's scoring. Well,
it's also 6 of his hits are home runs.
Yeah. But also 14 RBIs.
Yeah.
Not doing it all himself, just a lot of it. So the Athletics did the most Athletics thing possible. Well, I guess they didn't do it. The staff did. You know how, like, every team has a medical cart?
Yeah.
They went out to go pick up a Mets player that was leaving the game, and the medical cart ran out of gas on the field.
No.
And so they had to pick up the player in a golf cart, and then a bunch of employees for the Athletics had to push the golf cart off the field, and they were trying to steer it, but backwards, and they kept, like, steering it while pushing it, and it just kept turning. And then they tried to get it through the outfield wall, like doors, and then they'd like run into the door, and then they'd have to like come back and push it again. It was a wreck. It was absolutely hilarious. We also had this interesting thing, and I saved this on Reddit so you could show the video to Colin. Jorge Polanco hit a grounder to Jake Berger, who was playing first base, and reached safely by doing a spin move around him.
He hit a spin move on Bergie?
Yes. Oh. Jake Berger got spin moved.
Victim of the spin move.
Yeah. It was bad. I don't think you have to go to the saved. Yeah.
I don't think anything will be as bad as that Javi Baez versus the Pirates moment.
That one was crazy, but this is insane. So Berger obviously goes up to make the tag because he's trying to just get it quickly. Jorge just jumps out of the way, spin move, makes it safely.
See, if you're Berger there, don't look back. You have to sell to the umpire.
If I'm Berger, I'm running to first base. That runner's not going to advance past second.
Yeah, well, but in that situation where he's running up and you know you missed him.
He also moves out of the way.
Yeah.
Why would he move out of the way? You move towards him and just put him on his ass.
But you know you missed him.
Yeah.
Don't look back.
No.
You have to sell that.
No, yeah,
you
have to sell
make
that
them waste,
if possible.
Like, make them have to review it.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. Yeah. Nathan, go ahead and pull up the other video that's in there. I'm going to try and explain this, but I think the video explains everything. A hot dog parachuted onto the field in the Mariners game.
What?
I don't know how that happens. I think it's something they offer where they like have a hot dog stand where they drop the hot dogs to you and they have a parachute. And one of them went rogue, ended up on the field. Luke Rayleigh picks it up to get it off the field. And all the fans in the stadium just start chanting, "Eat it." He obviously didn't. And then after the game, Luke Rayleigh was asked in a post-game interview and he said that there was no hot dog in it. So unfortunate, but also, why is that a thing? Why are we parachuting hot dogs?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Also, maybe crazier, the Mariners scored 9 runs. Their offense
also
actually hit the ball.
I don't know if batter up should know this. Luke Rayleigh's not playing first in this video.
Yeah, that's crazy. Also, Tyler Soderstrom, not a catcher. It's another thing they got wrong.
Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah. Last thing that I've got for the MLB, Marcus Stroman against the Giants 2 days ago. 0.2 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 walks, 1 strikeout, 5 earned runs, left the game after 9 batters.
Yes, sir.
In my opinion, Marcus Stroman is heading towards Alek Manoah territory. And then today, we got the news that he received an injection for knee inflammation. And Aaron Boone, all he said was, "We hope he comes back quickly." That sounds like he's not actually hurt, and they don't want him to come back at all. Yes, I did see that. So, yeah, the Royals, Cole Reagans fighting hamstring cramping.
That's your AL pick, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, not good. But it's just cramps. He's fine. He got the win, too.
My AL pick's not looking too bad right now.
Yeah? Who was it?
Garrett.
That's true.
That no-hitter would have been nice.
Yeah. He was never going to go that far. No. They were not going to push him over 100 pitches.
You could have a 3-pitch inning.
That was not going to happen. Joe Mauer got a statue at Target Field.
As he should.
Yeah, definitely deserves it.
That's a sick statue.
It's a small statue.
Yeah, but I'm happy they did it.
It looks kind of small.
I'm happy they made it of him catching and not hitting.
Yeah, definitely. Imagine they had him as a first baseman.
Oh, dude.
I hated every time I saw him playing first base.
Yeah.
It just bothered me. I do love that his catcher's mask is on the ground.
Yeah, that's sick.
That is cool. What'd you say, Nathan? I bet that glove is very heavy. But it's all... Is it hollow? I would assume it... I don't know how statues work. I'm going to be honest. Hand up. I don't know much about statues. I think it's hollow. Like, it's probably thick, but it's not solid. Yeah, it's a good statue. I mean... It's much better than, like, Dwayne Wade, Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, you want to avoid that. That's a solid statue. Very good. Do we have any other MLB things that matter? Yeah, that's true. Emmanuel Clase is not up to a great start. But we'll see. Strider should be back soon.
Yeah, that, and they keep bringing Clase into games where they don't need to.
Yeah.
Like, they were up 5 runs the other day. Why are you bringing in Clase?
I don't know.
Put in Gattis. Gattis has been killing it.
Yeah, he's good.
Pull up the stats real quick, Nathan. I wanna check it one time. And also, him mic'd up was the funniest thing I ever seen.
It was really good. Dude, mic ups are just hilarious.
Just talking about fucking kale salads and
9 strikeouts.
That's what we're talking about.
Zero ERA.
He's learned from the Juan Soto home run he gave up in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, 6 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 walks. It's not a great whip.
No.
I'll say that.
0 runs, though. That's what we like.
Yeah, 0 runs. 9 Ks. Not bad.
Reliever of the year on the way.
Where'd he go to high school, Colin?
I don't know.
What?
He went to Sequoia High School.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Shout out to Sequoia High School.
Trash. Actually, not bad this year.
No, they're not. Shout out Drew Harmon, Diego Becerra.
I think River Ridge just beat them.
And Ian Maria. Yeah, Hunter Gaddis is giant.
Yeah, and the thing is, he used to be a stick.
Yeah.
In college, he was a stick.
Dude, get this man on the offensive line.
No, that motherfucker.
He'd have to put on a little more weight, but 6'6".
Motherfucker could be a tight end.
Yeah, tight end. Yeah, he'd have to drop some weight to be a tight end. Yeah, no, Hunter Gaddis is giant. Plays in Cleveland. Nathan said that he's the size of LeBron, for anybody wondering why I said he plays in Cleveland. Yeah, Spencer Strider's coming back soon.
Can't wait.
He's traveling with us to Toronto.
Push Sale to the 3 spot.
Sale did look pretty bad today.
Let the 2 Spencers ride it out.
Yeah. Both Spencer S's. I'm very excited
Schwelly
for Spencer
and Stridey.
I don't know if stridey works.
All right, Rich, what are we moving on to now?
We're moving on to the Falcons draft preview.
Yes.
I guess we should start by saying what the Falcons need. A defense in the first place. A defensive line, specifically.
Edge rusher and defensive tackle are the
yes.
two spots you need to look at the most.
100% priority spots to address. And I think that's where you have to go in the first round.
Yeah.
First round, you got to go there. Unless, like, no, I don't think there's anybody that could be on the board at 15 that is, like, so good at a different position that we need. I mean, Travis Hunter. If Travis Hunter's available at 15, the Falcons should draft him.
Yeah, dude, and just play him at corner.
Yeah, yeah. Or wide receiver. I mean, we need a wide receiver 3.
I would rather him be a corner than a wide receiver to That's start.
Fair. We'll have to see how that goes. But today's not the day that we discuss the Travis Hunter dilemma. I think that's just going to take up all the time we have between every draft pick on the draft night special. It's just talking about Travis Hunter.
Talking about how Shadur said, you would be a fool not to pick me.
Yeah, whatever. So back to the Falcons. Edge rusher, defensive tackle, got to happen. Grady Jarrett left. The defensive line was awful with him. Matthew Judon sucks. So much. So many things that we could cover. But what it boils down to is that this defensive line is awful. We have not been able to get a sack like ever for the last 3 or 4 years. Something needs to happen. Every single year, we're like, all right, we're going edge rusher in the first round. And then we draft an offensive player every time.
I think
we can't.
I think
we
at least 3, maybe 4 of our picks should be edge rusher or defensive tackle.
I 100% agree. I would not be mad if we had... If 5 of our picks are edge rushers and defensive tackles, and like one of them is like a 4th round wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah. And then like later on, just try to look at the secondary a little
bit. Yeah, sure. We do need a center, by the way. That is an actual big need. Drew Dahlman left, went to the Bears.
We should be able to pick. Not a lot of teams are looking for a center right now.
Yeah.
So we should be able to find a decent
Hopefully.
Center.
Hopefully. You never know.
We'll get that dude from Ohio State, Seth McLaughlin.
Yeah, you want him?
Yeah, he looked fine at Ohio State. Didn't he win center of the year?
What if he gets back down in the South and just goes right back?
Yeah, well, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to draft him and Jalen Milroe, so they'll be back together.
No, not going to happen. If anything, you would just draft Will Howard so that they're back together. Because that worked.
If the Falcons drafted Jalen Milroe, I would move.
We'd have a wide receiver 3. Yeah, Bijan, Jalen Milroe running the triple option. Yeah, Penix isn't fast enough, but
I'd rather keep Algier over Milroe.
Yeah, definitely. Milroe, running back. Yeah,
Milroe would take one hit and just be on the ground
for sure. Back to actual things that could potentially happen in real life. Like Jalen Milroe not getting drafted. Safety is a need. Justin Simmons was a liability at the best last year.
He started off so good.
He did.
Like, first 3 games.
And then he got hurt, and when he came back, he was awful.
Yeah.
Jesse Bates,
King.
All pro.
King.
Absolute god amongst, literally a god amongst men on that defense. I'm going to cut AJ Terrell some slack only because of what he did to Terry McLaurin in that game against the Commanders. That's the only thing keeping him... with any distance on his leash. Yeah. I would love another wide receiver. I don't think it needs to be a first round thing.
It could be like,
I don't think there is a first round wide receiver worth going after.
No.
But second round comes around, you might want to go ahead and scoop one up. Because like when we've run these mock drafts,
if Higgins is available, that'd be
yeah, like a guy like Jaden Higgins. When we're picking in the middle of the second round,
man, you're really
when you come up in the third, wide receiver is not good.
Yeah.
It is really not good in the third round. So, a lot of things you got to focus on there.
Hey, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. First round wise, let's talk about names. Who are some guys that you think are going to make it to that spot that you'd like us to go out and get it?
Mike Green could definitely be one. Yeah. Derek Harmon, if we wanted to go the defensive tackle route.
I think there might even... We might have to, like, if we go defensive tackle at 15, we might actually have to, like, make a decision.
Yeah.
Between, like, Derek Harmon, Kenneth Grant, Walter Nolan. Like, all 3 of those guys could definitely be on the board
it's
at 15.
It's the same with edge rushers.
Yeah.
Shamar Stewart, Mike Green.
And I had Shamar Stewart in my updated mock draft. But the thing with Shamar Stewart is that he didn't really produce in college. There's not much on tape, but everything about him says... This guy's a freak athlete. He has the skill set. He has the size and the strength and the frame. Can he do it? Does he? Is it a coaching thing, or is it that he just can't do it?
I saw you had James Pierce Jr. all the way at 32.
I have seen James Pierce Jr. as low as the end of the second round. So
I'm just like, if
it just keeps getting worse for him. He just doesn't have the frame.
Are the Eagles really drafting an edge rusher in the first round?
They need to fix the defensive line. They lost a lot.
Yeah.
You lost Josh Sweat and Milton Williams on the defensive line. That's a big problem. And they're a team that is in a position where, I mean, yeah, maybe if there's a safety on the board, but Nicky Manwari and Malachi Starks will be off the board at 32. I don't know why we're talking about the Eagles right now, but those two will be off the board at 32.
Because it's almost draft week, bro.
I know. It's hard to avoid anything. Next week, by the way, we're doing our draft night predictions. So we're just going to predict a ton of stuff that's going to happen through the draft. We'll have draft night one specific predictions that Nathan's going to keep track of during the draft night special. And then on top of that, we'll also just have...
Mike's going
to
be here for?
Yeah, I'm going to try. I need to talk to Mike about that. But I would like Mike to be here next week.
Mike should be in bed right now, so...
Okay. Well, it's not live.
Make sure you're getting your sleep, Mike.
Retroactively. Mike, when you're hearing this, we hope you had a good night's sleep.
And we hope you're having fun at inventory.
Yeah, I hope you're enjoying that as well. No. Nice.
Oh, did he really?
Bro, we should have had him here then. Damn it.
Call that motherfucker right now.
Nah, we're already pushing this enough. We did, by the way, we delayed the episode by like an hour to watch the conclusion of the Masters. yeah. Names-wise, I think... I don't know who... Like, when it comes to our pick, I wish there was just going to be a surefire guy that we should take, but I don't think there is. I think it's going to be like, oh, like, we're going to take this guy, and then this dude's going to get picked later, and he's going to be better. Because that's how the Falcons work. Yeah. I mean, we drafted Kyle Pitts.
There's going to be so many good options, and we're just going to take the worst one.
Yes, definitely. That's typically how that goes. And I don't know who that's going to be, unfortunately. James Pierce Jr. He would be the worst one.
I don't want him to be.
If we take James Pierce Jr. at 15, I will lose my mind live on YouTube.
Is that worse than the Michael Penix pick?
Oh, 100%. Like, at least it's a future oriented pick.
Yeah.
Taking Michael Penix Jr.
In the moment, that Michael Penix pick was.
We definitely. Well, I mean, you sign a quarterback for $45 million a year and then you just draft one.
Kirk scan. What are we Falcons, doing? Bro.
Yeah. Unbelievable. First of all, if we don't go defensive line, I will freak out.
I feel like they got to go edge rusher just because.
I think after
the first round, like edge rusher is just.
Yeah, it definitely drops off hard. It's a deep class, but it's certainly top heavy. Like there is elite pass rushers across the top of it. Then you get into like that tier of like the big question mark guys, like
the Ole Miss guys.
Yeah, Amen Milan and Ivy, Jack Sawyer out of Ohio State. There's a lot of guys like that where it's like I don't know, maybe like.
I wouldn't mind getting them like as a second one.
Yeah.
Like later.
If it was the second round, third round, sure. Like if we don't go edge in the first, let's say we go defensive tackle and take like Walter Nolan or one of those three.
Then I say round two and three, we go edge.
Okay. So no wide receiver in two or three.
I don't think so.
Okay. Yeah. I mean.
Because I think you can get somebody later on and like five, six. But if those are our like legit picks this year.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, we only have a first round, a second round, a fourth, and two sevenths.
Not picking in the fifth or sixth is horrible.
Yeah, or the third. No third round pick is awful.
We need to do something. We're going to have to make some trades.
Trading down in the second round is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
We are, yeah. Let's go ahead and do this. So we're gonna run a solo mock draft for the Falcons. We're not going to put up on screen because there's ads and there's not really a good format. What do we think about that? I hate that there's future picks in there.
Yeah.
Counter
next.
No, counter this. Get rid of the 2026 picks and ask for 190.
190.
No, 195. They won't take 190. Yeah. Bang.
All right, bang.
I'm a GM. I just got us four picks.
No.
No. We got to pick
go
at 26.
Go next.
Just reject. We got to hold on to the 26 pick. Okay. Walter Nolan's on the board. I think you have to take him.
Yeah.
I think we have to. No, Walter Nolan. Yeah, Walter. Don't even keep looking.
Because we just got...
I'm going to be honest. I think we just pulled a hell of a move right there. No.
No. Get out. I don't want a future. Yeah,
nobody wants future picks.
No.
Okay.
How is Kenneth Grant on the board?
I don't want to go another interior.
Is there...
Let's look at edge. Can we specifically go to the edge rushers, please?
The dude from...
Man Milan, Oladejo.
Yeah, but that cornerback from Notre Dame wouldn't be horrible.
Yeah.
Benjamin, what's his...
Damn, bro. Hairston just got picked 2 picks before this, too.
Damn.
Go back to the overall. Benjamin Morrison would not be horrible. I wish we needed a linebacker.
Yeah, I like Schlesinger a lot.
Trey Amos isn't bad.
Who's available at wide receiver? Jalen Noel is still on the board.
Higgins. You want to get Higgins?
We don't pick again for until 90. There's 45 picks in between our 2 picks. I think we go corner.
I think we get that Notre Dame corner.
Yeah. Or Trey Amos or Azariah Thomas. All three of them are on the board. That's tough.
I know who you want.
You know who I want, of course.
You also got to remember, like you said, with this trade, you don't have picks. So this is the pick you would take a reach on for somebody that you could have got in that third round as well.
Exactly.
So this is where you take the guy that you like the best.
I like Trey Amos the best. Out of those three.
I can get behind that.
Okay. Trey Amos. See, we regret that one.
Probably. So many people.
So many picks. No, we got to pick here at 90.
All right, get who's on the board? Josiah Stewart's not horrible.
Ashton Jalot's not bad either.
We need a running back?
No, we do not need Cam Scatabu.
Jordan Burch. Deion Walker's.
I almost feel like the Falcons have an advantage by not needing a running back.
Yeah.
Because that means we don't have to use a pick on one of this super deep running back class. Like, we don't need to. Whereas a lot of other teams are going to just be like, well, fuck, let's just take one of those good running backs.
Yeah. No, we definitely don't need a running back. We got to go edge.
Yeah. I'm saying either Josiah Stewart or Jordan Burch.
I like Burch more.
Jack Sawyer's still on the board.
We pick at 101. He might still be there.
Okay. Who else is still? Savion Jones.
He might be our pick at 101, I'll be honest. Jared Ivey down the list.
Q Robinson's. He's a dog.
All right, go back to the top.
Yeah. You like the
Burch. I like Burch more than Stewart. I like Ashton Jalot.
I'm a big fan of the Oregon edge rusher.
Okay, Jordan Burch it is.
I always like guys who play at a higher level.
Yeah.
And prove that they can win.
All right. 101 overall. We pick again at 118. So we got a couple close picks here.
So right now we have... Stewart's
still on the board.
Right now we have edge, corner, defensive tackle.
Can we pull up my picks? Just
we have Walter Nolan, Trey Amos, and Jordan Burch.
Yeah. What does the wide receiver market look like at the moment? Just to check. No.
Dante Thornton's on there.
Yeah, but he won't go for a little while.
Nick Nash.
Isaiah Bond is so low. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, he's got a fucking case going on right now.
Yeah. He offered her $1,000.
I don't mind looking at Ja'Cory Brooks later on.
Yeah, he'll be a later look. Yeah. Go to the defense though. I think we address corner here.
Yeah. Who's available?
Quincy Riley.
I like him a lot.
We also, once again, we pick again at 118. So if we want to address something else, maybe safety. Safeties tend to drop. Jalen Reed's pretty good. I would assume you want to stay away from Malachi Moore.
Shiloh.
Nobody is taking Shiloh Sanders. DeRicky Wright. Go back up. We're gonna fall into a name hole.
Yeah.
Should we go corner or do we go safety?
Is there another defensive tackle that's available?
Let's see. Deion Walker.
Deion Walker's not bad.
Joshua Farmer. Not bad at all. J.J. Pegues. He's a guy that we could go out and get in the next pick.
Pair him up with Walter Nolan.
Peebles. We could hold out for Peebles. Tonka Hemingway.
Let's go corner. Let's go corner.
Yeah. Okay. So...
You know who I'm sold on.
You want Quincy Riley?
I like Quincy Riley.
Okay, then we'll reach on Quincy Riley. Oh, Deion Walker just went off the board.
That's three more picks later on. We got our guys.
I think we're going to be spread too thin.
Okay.
We'll
reject it.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have countered and took one off and asked for one earlier.
I think we're good. We've still got 195, 218, and 242.
Okay.
I think we're
true. All right, so
we don't need to make that many.
We don't need any more corners.
No. Billy Bowman's still on the board for safety. Dante Thornton's still out there, wide receiver.
Jack Sawyer's still on the board.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind Jack Sawyer there. At 130, yeah. It won, what are we at, 118? Could we even hold out again? I don't know if we can hold out again.
Next pick is 195.
Yeah. Do we want Jack Sawyer? Is he the guy?
Out of what I'm seeing.
Okay.
Who's available for wide receivers?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Tesla, Dante Thornton.
Yeah, no, we're fine. Yeah.
Okay, Jack Sawyer.
Yeah. Let's get Jack Sawyer.
It's a little bit of a reach, but I don't mind it.
I love how Ollie Gordon's still on the board.
Yeah.
I just saw Seth McLaughlin.
Yeah, I saw Seth as well. So many picks. Oh, man. Such a long break. Riley Leonard, Kyle McCord. Okay, so what are we thinking now? We still haven't addressed safety, right? Can we look at our picks again?
We got two more picks?
Yeah, so we've taken a tackle, two corners, and two edge rushers.
Yeah. Safety and wide receiver, probably.
Yeah. These last two picks. Who's on the board at wide receiver? I don't like them for right here. I think we go back.
I think we can hold out and take Ja'Cory Brooks with our last pick.
I think we probably could. It's a little bit of a break, but I think we'll be fine.
Scroll down a little bit.
We're not taking Shiloh. Not happening. Go back up.
Yeah, no, probably.
Take the best guy available. Kitten Crawford.
Toledo's usually has fantastic secondaries.
You say usually because of Quinyon Mitchell.
Yeah.
I just like the name Kitten.
All right, yeah.
Or Kitten. I don't know, but I'm going to call him Kitten.
Jimmy Horn just got taken.
All right, who's a wide receiver? Ja'Cory? Yeah, Ja'Cory Brooks, for sure.
Yeah.
Bang. I think that was a banger draft right there.
Oh, we got another pick?
Oh, shit. What else is out there?
Curtis Rourke.
Should we go for another edge rusher?
I feel like we would need, at this point, go for Nazir Stackhouse.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Stackhouse. But I wouldn't mind Nazir Stackhouse.
That way we would have two edge, two corner, safety, wide receiver.
Three tackles. That's a strong name. Torricelli Simpkins III. Damn. Oh, he's a center.
Oh, you did say we need a center.
Give me Torricelli Simpkins III. We need a center. I think that's a damn good mock draft right there.
Bad.
I don't think we would actually get a trade like that.
No. But if we did, just think.
Yeah.
Think about what we started with. A first, a second, a fourth, and 2 7th rounds.
I would love to know what the Rams traded up for. I don't know if we can go back and see that, but what did the Rams take at 15 that they needed to trade up to 26?
Jalen Walker. I mean,
I don't blame them for trading up. I mean, imagine if we could add Jalen Walker at 15.
Yeah, the next best would have been Jahad Campbell.
Jalen Walker and Micah Williams going back to back.
Yeah, what does this one have?
Yeah, three straight Georgia. That's funny.
This one has the Steelers taking Colston Loveland.
Ew.
Jackson Dart to the Colts.
Oh, they trade up to 32. Wow. Interesting.
This is weird. No, yeah, Shadur's not going to the Jets.
I saw a comment on our on the TikTok for Mock Draft 2.0 for the Colts pick. And the guy said, "You really think they take a tight end at 14 with Shadur not off the board?" I was like, "Dude, what are you talking about? That's insane."
Okay, so this one has
Shamar
going to the Lions.
14 ahead of Jalen Walker, Michael Williams.
The Eagles trading up for 14 to get Shamar.
Yeah, but also. Oh, that's way more interesting than I thought.
Yeah, they trade back okay. to get Dart.
Nick Scorton at 19's weird.
Yeah.
That's
very
crazy.
Weird.
James Pierce to the Packers is also very
Seahawks
odd.
Trading up to get Tyler Booker, getting two first rounders.
Interesting. Very odd.
That's the thing, bro. This year's first round could literally be fucking anything.
Yeah. I mean, the Broncos do need another wide
yeah,
receiver.
But they're taking a running back.
I think they should. Sure.
They're taking Amari and Hampton. It's got to happen.
They have to.
Unless they trade up to get Genty.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because, like, Genty went six there. It's tough to trade up that far.
Yeah, but do you think the Raiders would be in a spot to trade back?
No. The Jags are. I think the Jags will trade their pick. I mean, the Jags trade down with, like, Cowboys could trade up, take Genty at 5, right ahead of the Raiders. Yeah.
You think the Texans could trade up to get the best offensive tackle available?
They're not
going to
get the best offensive tackle because, I mean, you're going to have to trade up really far.
Trade with the Jags. Just straight trade. I'm sure the Jags would not hate going to 25.
Yeah,
more depth.
But the Texans would have to give up some late picks that I don't think they're willing to give
up. For this year, the Jags just need to acquire as many picks as possible.
Maybe.
You have to start building that team.
I mean, they have been trying. It's not successfully.
That or Brian Thomas is going to leave very soon. Once his
rookie deal's up. Yeah, I would not blame him whatsoever. Yeah, I don't know. The Jags pick is so weird because I can't find the right team for it. Because like I've seen the Jets, I've seen the 49ers, I've seen the Cowboys, I've seen a lot of people. We're not doing a Jags draft. I don't care about the Jags enough. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so
like that, I don't hate that.
Yeah, getting 10 and 39.
And giving up 182?
Yeah, Chicago is another one of the teams I've seen offer trades. Miami is interesting. What does Miami need? Would Miami trade that far up for Will Campbell?
But see, that would also be a good pick for the Jags to get two futures.
Yeah, that's true.
A second and a fourth?
Yeah, second and fourth and 26 would be good.
And
you're getting 48.
Yeah.
That's the only two offers, though? Interesting. Yeah, I mean... We can kind of just keep doing that. Let's see.
I love how Cam Ward is always the first one.
Yeah, you forgot to choose fast. Whoa.
Like, that's...
No.
No.
Oh, their first round pick, though? Cleveland's first next year would be nice to have.
That might be the first pick.
If Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco are competing for that job, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's major.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of talent starting the second round.
Can the Jags, first-year head coach, first-year GM, drop out of the first round? Yeah. Out of the first round.
You have the first pick in round two.
Sure, but first, you got to remember, first-year GM, first-year head coach, you got to make a splash. You got to take a pick that's going to change things as soon as they walk in the door.
I think that would. You're getting a first, second, and fourth.
I get
that
the future is trying to be addressed. But imagine Cleveland trades up to 5. They could take Ashton Genty at 5. Whatever they take there. And they play great. And then you're picking, Jacksonville's probably picking first because they suck. They're at least going to be somewhere near the top five again. Cleveland's pick is like 22 or 20. I don't know if that's worth giving up on this draft class of draft classes. Because then you got to start thinking about what's more valuable this year or next year. That trade looks way more enticing to me.
Yeah. That way you stay in the first round.
Yes, and you get you stay in the first round.
Another second round.
Yes, exactly.
And then you get a second,
I like that
third
trade a whole lot better. The trade, by the way, would be Jaguars give up number 5 for Cincinnati's 17, 49th, and 81st overall, and 2026 second and third round picks. That's a great offer.
We can't keep refreshing. We're going to do this all day.
We're going to do one more just to see who rings the phone. Okay, Seattle. I don't hate that one either because two picks very close together, 50 and 52. So 5, 5th overall, 4, Seattle's 18, 50, and 52nd, and then their 2026 4th. If I'm the Jags, I probably don't.
I would decline that.
Don't take that. But I would certainly entice, like, it would entice me.
Yeah.
It would make me start calling other people and be like, hey, what, this is what they offered. Mm. I don't love that. Houston,
is that a three-way trade?
No, it's the pick that they got in the Laremy Tunsil trade, gotcha, the 2026 second from Washington. Yeah. Oh, we got 3 offers on this one. What's the next one? I don't like that one at all. There's the Jets, like I talked about. Honestly, dropping down 2 spots and also picking up number 42 overall is very good. Because, like, what's the worst thing the Jets do? They jump up, they take...
Campbell.
Yeah, they take Will Campbell, and then if you wanted to go offensive line again, you just take Membu or Kelvin Banks.
I was going to say, there would be a good chance that Mason Graham is still there for you.
Yeah, Mason Graham could still be there, too. Is Mason Graham still there? Or did he go to the Patriots? Interesting. Yeah, the Patriots. Okay. Yeah, you still have Membu and Kelvin Banks as options. I think that would have been a great, great trade. You still get Kenneth Grant instead of Mason Graham, their teammate.
Scroll up. What are their top needs?
Tackle, yeah, tight end.
They're chilling.
And also, right there at tight end, I mean, you're still looking at some great options, probably with your next pick.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You get Mason Taylor. At 42. Yeah, you take Kenneth Grant there. And then...
Trey Harris.
Yeah, there's so many options. I would probably take Mason Taylor there because you need a tight end. But whatever. We're done with the Jags draft. Closing statements on the Falcons.
Don't fuck it up.
Yeah, what do you want to happen? Okay.
Defense heavy.
Got it. Anything else? Anything particular?
Like certain people?
Just anything. Anything Falcons draft related.
Don't trade up to waste a pick.
That's a great take right there. Do not trade up. If the Falcons trade up, it will be a huge mistake. Do not trade up.
Because for the positions we're looking for, there's plenty of talent that will be where
exactly we will be at. And we're at the front of the line right now. For 3 teams, they're going to be taking defense. Us, Arizona, Cincinnati. All 3 of those teams are probably going for the defensive line.
Exactly.
We need to stay at the front of that. So also, don't trade back, in my opinion.
Unless they're willing to give up later picks.
Unless you're going
to
get
Unless you
really
move back
good...
1 or 2 to get like another second round or third round pick.
Yeah, because I mean, the Bengals could be calling. Yeah. I do think there's a world where that could happen.
Yeah.
My thing for the Falcons, first of all,
GMs.
Maybe, for the Falcons, do not draft offense in the first round. If they draft offense in the first round, I'm going to lose my mind.
I think
mind.
We're safe because we don't have the 8th pick. If we had the 8th pick, that we would be more worried.
That's true.
But with us having 15, I think that's a very defensive pick.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So don't take offense in the first round for sure. Draft at least four defensive players.
Yeah.
In the whole draft.
If you draft Dylan Gabriel at all, I will be so mad.
If we draft a quarterback at all, get out of town.
So mad.
I mean, Kirk is literally still here.
Yeah. Kirk is our backup.
Yeah.
Penix will be fine.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. If we draft James Pierce, I will lose my mind.
Yep.
And if we trade out of the first round, I will also lose my mind.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
Yeah. Also, try and trade Kirk on draft night.
Yeah.
That should definitely be happening. You better be ringing the Indianapolis Colts. Better be hearing Kirk Cousins' name. What are you about to show us? What was that?
He reached on a strike three.
Drop third. Wait.
Oh, did it hit him?
That's hilarious. Damn. That's brutal. Oh, man.
That's why you call either inside or outside, big dog.
Yeah, that sucks. All right. Let's quickly run through the Masters. So, Thursday for the Masters. I kind of covered this on Friday's episode because the rounds wrapped up right at the end. Biggest things, the first thing that popped out was just the greens were unbelievably firm on Thursday. Crazy bounces. Unbelievable bounces on Thursday. Justin Rose entered the clubhouse minus seven. Three strokes on the field at the end of day one. Rory had four birdies, but two double bogeys, and it was on 15 and 17, which made him shoot even. And Nikolai Højgaard had the craziest round of the day, really of the weekend. This is how it started. Bogey, double bogey, birdie, 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 par, birdie, birdie, bogey, par, double bogey. And he finished four over, a 76 with a eagle, five birdies, five bogeys, and three doubles. Yeah.
Very colorful scorecard there.
Yeah. A very interesting weekend for him. On Friday, Justin Rose shot just one under, but held the lead going into the clubhouse. Rory shot minus six to rise up to third. You had Morikawa give it a pretty good run on Friday as well. He shot three down with five birdies on the last 11 holes of the day. So many things changed on Friday. Fred Couples almost made the cut. Just some tough putting there at the end. And he almost made his 10th cut since his 50th birthday. You go to Saturday, moving day. Things certainly moved around on Saturday. Rory shot another six under to put himself at 12 under and was the solo leader. Bryson shot three under and was barely shown on the broadcast, which is crazy. Literally everybody was talking about that. They were not going to Bryson whatsoever on that broadcast on Saturday. And then they go into the clubhouse. He's in second place. Also, Rose shot three over. Put himself tied for six with Shane Lowry, Scheffler, and Jason Day. Other than Scheffler, Shane Lowry, Jason Day kind of fell off on Sunday, but Rose and Scheffler certainly had good days. Rose for sure. So Rory and Bryson start off Sunday. They're the twosome that rounds things off. Rory starts by double bogeying one, and Bryson pars for a two-stroke swing that ties them at the top right after hole one. So it is a level playing field for the next 17 holes is the idea. Then DeChambeau birdied two. He birdies two, takes a one-stroke lead. Two straight bogeys from DeChambeau. Rory, two straight birdies. They swing it right back. DeChambeau doubles on 11, and from there was pretty much over for him, but Rory started rolling through those middle holes and just held his composure. On top of that, Shane Lowry, an all-time awful showing on Sunday.
That's
a good old plus nine for one of my favorite players on tour. And Justin Rose, kind of in the midst of all this madness that's happening with Rory and Oberg as well, Justin Rose goes into clubhouse, birdieing on 18 to finish 11 under, tied for second, I think, at the time. Oberg explodes in the last couple holes, just unbelievably falls apart. He ended up in seventh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oberg ends up in seventh place on the day, or on the tournament. And Rose is still at 11 under. McIlroy is just like, he was all the way at 14 under at one point. Then he goes to 13 under. Then he doubles, goes to 11 under. Then 10 under. Then he gets it back up to 11, gets up to 12, comes down to 18.
Can't
Things
put.
Look pretty good.
For sure, I thought it was like a tap-in.
Yeah.
Tap-in par.
Not a bad drive. The approach shot goes in the sand, hits out of the sand.
We were losing our mind.
Hits out of the sand and sets himself up with a damn good putt to win the Masters at 12 under.
Short left.
Short left.
He was
barely
nervous.
Rolls past and then taps it in. And now Rose has to come from the driving range where he stayed rolling. Shout out to Justin Rose, by the way, for just continuing to practice that whole time. But
he knew.
Yeah, he was ready to go, and he knew that Rory was going to fold just like all of us did. What do you got, Nathan?
They said that he was literally aiming the tee shot of 18, knowing that if it went to a playoff, he was going to be ready for that drive.
Yeah.
He was. He hit a pretty damn good drive.
Yeah, he hit a great drive to start off. But then, so the two of them go to the playoff, and it was so close. Once again, Rory had an unbelievable upshot following Rose. Put a pretty good one up there to get up on the green on his second shot. Rory's just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Rolled up, practically a tap-in, but when you think about how the putting has already gone for Rory today, you're like, okay, well, he might miss this. But then Rose misses, and then he missed again. Or no, he didn't miss again, did he?
No.
No, he made the comebacker. But Rory sinks it and wins his first Masters, the sixth player to complete the Grand Slam. I'm happy for him, but at the same time, I don't like Rory.
Yeah. I wish Justin Rose would have took it down.
That would have been awesome. He's 44 years old. Imagine.
Now he's just the guy who just can't win a playoff.
Yeah, I mean, he's
loses to a
two-time playoff loser in the Masters.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough. Also, shout out to Patrick Reed. He was, like, kind of out of it. Not out of it, but, like, he was up near the top. He had a hot round, for sure.
He was out there having fun, man.
Yeah, but from 146 yards out on 17, holes out for the eagle, puts him 9 under on the day.
He just seems like, damn,
Rent. Or on the tournament,
He said Rent was due, so he had to get a couple more.
And got himself all the way up to third place. Scheffler ends in fourth. Sungjae Im, out of nowhere, ends up in fifth. DeChambeau kind of fell apart there on that back half.
That's how he ended up in fifth, is because DeChambeau and Oberg just shat the bed.
Yeah, DeChambeau finishes 7 under, Oberg 6 under.
But like, what was it, a triple on hole 18 is what Oberg got?
Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah, bunker, back into the bunker because he hit the lip.
Into another bunker. Overshot the green.
Yeah.
Putted it onto the green for a long-ass putt. Missed that, tapped in for the triple.
It was awful. It was true.
Brother was going
awful.
Through it.
Yeah. Just a lot of guys that kind of underperformed on Sunday.
I'm surprised Spieth made the cut for this tournament, honestly. He's been so bad recently.
Yeah, same with Homa. I mean, he missed 5 straight cuts before this and then made the cut and had a pretty good weekend.
I still can't believe he just drilled that dude standing in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah, Spieth. Also, just nut tapping that dude was hilarious.
Him walking away laughing is just what makes it funny.
We have to assume that he knows that guy, but
he has to.
Yeah.
He's got to.
It was hilarious. But I think this Masters was wonderful.
Unless that guy's just like, yo, please nut tap me, bro.
That would be funny. Yeah, Matsuyama did have a good day.
Yeah. Pretty sure he shot the hot round today.
Yeah. He shot a sneaky 6 down. Sahithagala was so underwhelming this weekend. It pissed me off.
Speaking of pissing, bro. So what's going to happen with that dude who pissed in the creek?
Yeah, it was one of the amateurs, right? Was it the dude from Arizona State that was also wearing the upside down Sun Devil hat? Dude, that guy's just trying to cause problems.
We can assume he's probably not invited to the Masters again, right?
I mean, we'll see if he... You can qualify. It was like Balthazar, I think. Balthazar. He's pretty low. He played like shit. Keep going. He was not good. Yeah, there it is. Ballester. Jose Luis Ballester. Yeah, and what's crazy is he won the U.S. Amateur by defeating Noah Kent, who shot a fantastic round in round one. Shout out to Noah Kent as well. I think, the highest finishing amateur was? Who won low amateur or whatever?
I have no idea.
Last year was Neil Shipley. That guy was awesome. I love Neil Shipley.
Just wait till Luke Clanton's up there. That dude's insane.
College golf's awesome, by the way.
I love college golf.
If nobody really does pay attention to it, and I don't really either, but I see like the headlines TikTok, and like I see the highlights. Yeah.
Wow, TikTok for me.
Nice.
I can't talk. I'm tired, man.
But yeah, no, college golf's pretty fun.
You know what's better than college golf?
College baseball?
College disc golf.
No.
Shout out.
Nice try though. Oh, none of the amateurs made the cut. Nice.
Shout out Eastern Mennonite. Took down D1 Natty Champs.
Yeah. Wasn't there 8 Georgia players in the Masters field?
I think so.
Like 8 people that went to Georgia, which is crazy. Georgia is a fantastic golf program, though.
Yeah. Do they know how to drive?
That's a good pun. I don't even know if you realized it was a pun.
Oh.
Does the Georgia golf team know how to drive?
Yeah.
I would assume so. They're golfers.
Bryson was trying to become the 8th golfer ever to win low am and a green jacket at the Masters.
Oh, I didn't realize he won low am.
Yes. I actually just saw a video, I think in 2016 or 17. He's sitting there when, I don't remember who it was, got their green jacket. I just saw the video on Twitter like a little bit ago. And he looks very small. It's kind of funny.
Was that Sergio Garcia?
No, that was 17.
Was that?
2017 is when, unless he went back-to-back, because Sergio beat Rose in 2017.
Oh, yeah. Who was it? Sergio in 2016?
Our producer and producer.
Yeah. Oh, Danny Willett. I forgot he won it. Damn. Yeah. There are some odd Masters champions all the time. We're not going to get into that conversation.
Yeah. Are we playing games tonight?
Yeah, I think we're going to play a couple games. I'm sure Nathan has something queued up for us. Do you have everything set up to switch over, or do you want us to take a pause before we... All right, well, we're going to take a pause, and we'll come back with games. All right, we're back with games. Nathan's got it all set up. We got an immaculate grid.
Dope.
You want to start us off, Colin? Got anything?
Derek Dietrich played second, right? I can't remember.
Yeah, definitely.
Derek Dietrich for the Reds.
He played second and first. Let's go. Good fucking pull to start.
Obvious one's probably Jonathan Morgan.
India.
Joe Morgan and Brandon Phillips.
And Jonathan India?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out an obvious one. I don't want you to put this in. Padres, only one team. Fernando Tatis does work for that. Junior.
Jonathan India would be Reds, Royals, but I feel like that's going to be so
That's
going
to be super obvious, if I had to guess.
Did Mike Minor play for the Reds?
I don't think so. I don't remember him. So I just said Fernando Tatis. Probably Fernando Tatis, because he's current. Could be Tony Gwynn. Yeah.
I know the most obvious for Royals, Padres. Eric Hosmer.
I don't know if that's the most obvious.
What would it be?
I don't know what would be more obvious, but Hosmer was such a bad Padre. I don't know.
All right, well, you're up.
Yeah, I can't think of anything. God. Just like I keep looking around and just blanking on everything.
Did Nick Madrigal play second for the Cubs?
Yeah, he did. We can run that. Nick Madrigal.
Fuck.
It's not bad. I mean, that's pretty good. How does the only one team work? Like, if they've only played one season, does it count?
I think so.
Can you hover over it so we can see. Played for one major league team in their career. Okay.
Yeah, bro, they give out answers for this shit.
All right. Noted. Okay. You can click off that now. So an interesting tactic would be pick a player that came up and never came back up.
Like,
trying to think of like a Cubs like prospect that like came up last year and then went down and just hasn't come back up.
I mean, you could say Pete Crow. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't.
Did he ever play for the Mets or no. Did he never get called up?
No, he didn't.
You think that'd be a pretty.
I think that would work. Yeah. Do Pete Crow Armstrong. I think that'll play pretty well. Yeah.
Or you think Shaw would be better? Matt Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We can run Pete.
Yeah. I just. Okay. That was a little high.
Fuck.
That was a little high. Dude, I'm blanking right now. I don't know. I don't like these categories.
Padres second base, Cronenworth. Did he ever play second?
Probably. He's probably one you wouldn't think of either. Well, no, he fields righty, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. He might have played second.
I don't know.
You could also do like Ha-Seong Kim. He was mainly a shortstop, but he definitely played some second.
Yeah. Well, I've filled out three boxes.
Yeah,
so
I know,
far,
dude. No, I'm struggling. I'm really struggling. I don't know why, but it's bad. Kansas City, Chicago, Aroldis Chapman.
That might be the most obvious one.
No.
Kansas City,
Cincinnati for Aroldis would be. Okay. But Kansas City, Chicago, I think is less. What the fuck? It's all I could think of. Sorry.
Would Matt McClain be a decent answer for the Reds?
For only one team?
Yeah.
I mean, probably. They have so many guys you could choose. You could also do like Christian Encarnacion Strand.
Rhett Lauder.
He did come up, didn't he? I don't know. You could do like any of these random ass rookies that have come up. Noelvi Marte. He played a couple games before that suspension. What?
Just put Matt. Just put M-A-T-T. Before his name.
Well, yeah, do Matt and then MC. Oh. And if you want to run that, run it.
Yeah.
There we go. Dude, I have fucking nothing. I'm just telling you that right now. All I have is high percentage ass answers.
But Padres one team.
You could also do Cronenworth for that.
Yeah. Trying to think of like a pitcher for them. But I can't really think of a pitcher that's only been a Padre.
I mean, their entire rotation right now has been
was
on
Jeff
another
Hoffman,
team.
Was he on multiple teams? Like the old Jeff or Trevor Hoffman, sorry.
About Trevor Hoffman, yes. He did end up playing on other teams. Oh, I'm so bad at this grid. I don't know why.
Fucking run Ha-Seong Kim for the Padres second base.
S-E-O-N-G. It's H-A-S-E-O-N-G. It's two words, though. Oh, well, there you go. It's hyphenated. Damn, still 8%. Fuck. This is an awful showing by me. I'll just say that.
Did Hunter Renfroe play for the Reds? I can't remember if he did.
I don't remember that.
I don't think he did. Oh.
Did he play for the Padres?
Billy Hamilton?
Yeah, I think he played for both of those.
Nathan, run Billy Hamilton.
Did he play in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Okay. No, Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I just don't remember him in Kansas City. Nice. Like I said, not my day on this grid. We have Hosmer aside, but I don't want to use that. Is there like a catcher? I guess like the only guy that's catching for Kansas City ever is Salvador Perez.
Mm-hmm.
pitcher. Michael Wacha was never a Padre, was he? Oh, I feel like he was.
I'm not sure. Was Adam Frazier, did he ever go to the Padres?
Yeah, he was definitely a Padre.
I know he was a Royal.
Okay, Adam Frazier.
Oh, God. I might be second-guessing myself.
Just run it.
Yeah, just try it.
Oh, dang, good stuff. That's good teamwork right there. All right, now we got to figure out.
I'm going to let you take this one.
No, why? I've been so bad. I've been so bad at this.
I feel like we should have used Ha-Seong Kim. Actually, no, he's in the Rays. In that picture, yeah. That's bad.
All right. Just got to think of some options here. Who is a guy that has...
Jackson Merrill?
No, that's way too obvious.
Tatis is...
Didn't they have, like... I feel like they had some, like, outfielder that came up and then just went back down and that was it. Like, recent, like in the last couple of years. I can't think of who it was.
I've got no fucking idea.
Damn. I hate only one team.
Honestly, any other team besides the Padres, I'd be fine.
Yeah. Padres is
That's tough. Like the team it's I keep team up with it, the least.
But it also just feels like they're always getting other teams' players.
Yeah.
Should we just go with
Cronenworth then?
Yeah, I guess we'll just do Cronenworth. I just want this to be done. I want this immaculate grid over. Ugh.
56 isn't horrible.
What did Cronenworth get us? Okay, Tony Gwynn. Oh, Ellie. That's funny.
Cronenworth
was the second base. So I'm glad we used Ha-Seong Kim.
Aroldis Chapman was higher for Reds.
Look at that.
Royals. Good thing we didn't use Hosmer.
Yeah. I don't know how Zobrist never came to mind. Oh, 6 from Cronenworth. That's not that bad.
So Grayson had 18%.
All right, chill. We're not
9%.
14.
I had 14, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'll give myself 40. But I also had 1.7, threes, and a 2.
That's fair. Adam Frazier sneakily not looking straight with either eye in that photo.
He's also an immaculate grid warrior. You can use him for Orioles, yeah. Pirates.
Mariners. Okay. Of course, it's a lefty. For the batter up, who would have guessed? That looks distinct, but I don't really have a name in mind. That looks like a catcher or first base swing, even though he's a lefty.
I don't know. For some reason, when I look at this swing, I think of Tommy Edman. For some random...
He's a switch hitter, isn't he?
He's been killing it in MLB The Show right now.
Oh. I mean...
He is a switch hitter.
Feel free to run Tommy Edman.
I feel like it's... We might get one yellow on this.
Okay. That's not very confident. He's at least an American second baseman, so that's a good lead. Is it Adam Frazier? I don't even know who he's on right now.
Is this Bryson Stott?
It's an American League, isn't it?
No, it's National League.
Oh.
It's okay. Just Central or...
Yeah. East. I mean...
Is this Bryson... Try Bryson
base,
Stott.
Yeah. Ooh.
So it's the NL Central, 27, okay. Close to the number 5.
Okay. So NL Central, this is actually, I think this, is Adam Frazier on the Pirates right now?
Yeah. Try Adam Frazier.
Try Adam Frazier.
There's no
fucking. That would be fucking insane. There's no way. Oh. Oh, yeah, he's too old. That would have been insane, by the way.
Bryce Turang.
Second base. Oh. Is he, yeah, he's the Brewers second baseman. Is he 27?
He's around that age.
Around that, whatever. I don't remember what age we were looking for. Oh, okay. So,
number 2.
Reds. Oh, is that Horner?
Two? No, wait, no. Horner's a righty, though.
Oh. Who's the Reds second baseman? Because they got rid of India.
Oh, fuck. Is it not McLean? I thought McLean played second.
Maybe. It doesn't have to be the starter. We found that out the hard way. So wait, who's the Cardinals second baseman? I forgot about the Cardinals. I've not watched any Cardinals baseball this year. I'll tell you that much.
Because they have Mason Wynn, Jordan Walker,
Arenado's at third.
Yeah, okay.
Wilson Contreras has been playing some first base.
Brendan Donovan's outfield, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Because it's him, Burleson, and Newt Barr in the outfield.
Whatever happened to Dylan Carlson? I mean, he doesn't play second base. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Nathan, how many guesses do we have left?
I think two.
Do we use one to, like, with a Cardinals player? Just to see.
Wait, what NL Central teams do we have left?
We've guessed the Pirates, the Brewers. Okay. We know it's not the Cubs.
Because it's not Horner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I don't even know who the backup is.
Yeah, I don't know who their backup second baseman is. Okay.
So it's either the Cardinals, the Cubs, or the Reds.
Yeah. So we don't know.
I feel like the Reds' second baseman is Matt McClain. So I want to count. Think you're right. I think we count them out.
Okay.
Because even if like they use someone like Noel B. Marte at second base, he's a righty as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's just down. Like, I think it's the Cardinals. I really do.
I have no idea who a second baseman is for them. I'll just say that right now. Because I don't watch any Cardinals baseball.
Yeah, it's... Why are they always picking the positions? We know every other starter for them.
Yeah. I mean, should we just throw out a Cardinal so we know it's the Cardinals before we start trying to think of...
I guess, Cardinals players? Throw out just Brendan Donovan. That's like one of the only lefties I can think of.
Not the Cardinals. And he's German. What the fuck? Okay. Dude, this is tough.
So it's the Cubs or the Reds?
Yeah. Who else?
Is there someone starting over Adam Frazier for the Pirates? No, because it would
have... Yeah, we already tried the Pirates. So Cubs or Reds?
Cubs or the Reds. Who else is playing? Because is Shaw? He's third baseman, right?
Or is Michael Bush the third baseman?
Are either of them lefties?
I think Bush is a righty. I don't know about Shaw. We can run Shaw. It's our only guess. We don't have anything. Yeah. We have nothing. Run Matt Shaw. I feel like he might be a righty. Okay.
Just type Shaw.
You type in Shaw, maybe we're just stupid.
No. All right, so it's not Matt Shaw.
It's not Matt Shaw. And Michael Bush is for sure a third baseman.
Yes.
And Nico Horner is definitely their second baseman.
Yeah, because Dansby's a shortstop.
Yeah. But Nico Horner is a righty.
Yeah. So it's got to be the Reds.
Yeah. And Matt McClain is a righty, correct?
I'm almost positive.
That doesn't sound like sure enough.
Yes, he's a righty.
Okay. So then who's not?
I don't know anybody else for the Reds that I can think.
Dude, just put in Matt McClain. This is killing me.
I guess.
We have nothing. We failed. Gavin Lux plays for the Reds now. I forgot about that. I hate when it's with a different team. Yeah. When the video is from a different team.
That's really bad.
That sucks. I forgot Gavin Lux played there.
We don't have time for a redemption, do we?
No.
I feel like shit after that one.
Yeah.
Because I should have known that because I use his card in Diamond Dynasty. Bro. And he's wearing a Reds jersey.
Bro.
So.
What the hell?
I take full responsibility of that.
You're going to say that now? You're like, oh yeah, there's a guy on my team in Diamond Dynasty. And he is a Reds second baseman.
I use him in the DH spot.
Brother. All right. Well, that was a blast. The games
were
fun.
Very underwhelming performance.
Yeah, it was a shitter for me especially on that grid. But
yeah,
I always suck at batter up, so that doesn't change. Make sure you tune into the Draft Night special on April 24th. Thursday, April 24th, around 7:50 p.m. live here on YouTube. Turn on the post notifications after you subscribe here on YouTube so you know exactly when we go live, exactly when every video goes up. Sounds like Luke wants to put out another mock draft video. It might be coming this week. I don't really know. He hasn't spoken any further to me about it, but might be on the lookout for that. So make sure you have those post notifications turned on. Colin's going to be dropping another mock draft graphic on Instagram and TikTok as well, so that's going to be coming out before
bring
the draft.
On the haters, bro.
We got a lot of stuff coming up before the draft, and then, of course, it all culminates with the Draft Night special. If you haven't already, go back and watch my mock draft 2.0 on YouTube, and make sure you're following us on Instagram and TikTok to see those graphics when they come out and every other update that we put out there. Colin, you got anything for us before we get out of here?
Mm-mm.
You're still just going to... Are we just, like, waiting till after we come back from vacation, or...
We'll see. I've honestly been trying to think of something, and I just can't.
Okay.
Like.
Nathan, you've got something?
I do.
Yeah.
Can you guys guess the most popular MLB walk-up song this season so far?
As in, the most people are using it?
Yep.
I feel like you're lame if somebody else is using your walk-up song. I'm going to say it. Is it in English?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to go ahead and get
There's
that question out.
There's seven people using this song.
Really?
Yep. Rocketeer.
No,
what?
Here we come.
Yeah, why?
Come with me.
Why? Why is that your There's guess? A world Do you know anybody that uses that?
We should.
No, I don't know of anybody that uses that.
Does anyone use
I'm going to be honest. I don't listen to like.
Does anyone use Pink Pony Club?
No.
Definitely.
Not at least in the top 15.
Is it a song we know?
Is it like a Drake song?
You guys would know it.
Why would we... Is it a country song, then?
Yes.
Oh. That's weird.
It's all white guys, if you couldn't
guess.
Well,
duh.
Is it a Morgan Wallen song?
No.
Okay.
What other... Is it that Shaboozy song?
No.
Bar song?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, a country song, though.
Yeah.
Loud, heavy... Or was it that?
Loud Thunder. Yeah. I don't know the name.
Like something
of that
Jake Berger is walking up to that.
No. Do you know what players it is that use it?
I'm trying to figure it
okay.
out.
Yeah,
I don't like specifically recognize them like
I'm trying
off their face.
I'm trying to think of.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't recognize a lot of their faces.
I was about to say, it's definitely not like good players if they're using the same walk up song as a bunch of other
people. Braves players.
I'm trying to think of what would be a good walk-up song in country
not,
music.
It's not Morgan Wallen.
Yeah. Like,
hey, shout out the Braves. None of their headshots are on this in the top 15.
Good.
They all have interesting music tastes.
Yes. Good. Shout out Travis d'Arnaud.
Oh,
he's not a Brave anymore, but what a great walk-up song.
Live.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. Just tell me the song. I'm tired of sitting here and wondering.
We have White Horse by Chris Stapleton.
Great pick, but would never have guessed that. I surprisingly have not really gotten into Chris Stapleton's music. Like, I just haven't looked for
Second
it.
Second most popular is God's Gonna Cut You Down by Johnny Cash.
What an interesting pick. Why are these so popular?
I'm surprised one of the ones you guys didn't
that
guess,
was my
which
next...
is number four, which is God's Country by Blake Shelton.
That would have been...
I saw the flag. Baptized.
Yeah, that would have been a...
Colin's favorite song also on here with five people using it, Ain't No Love in Oklahoma.
Is that your favorite song?
No.
I've just watched Twisters probably 10 times in the past 3 weeks.
It's a good song. It's not the best song on that soundtrack.
No, absolutely not.
I think that the Tyler Childers song on the soundtrack is the best one.
Really?
I don't even know if it plays in the movie. I haven't watched the movie.
I like the Sam Barber one, Tear Us Apart.
That one's also very good. Okay, enough of that discussion, and we're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for watching. Enjoy the week. A lot of baseball to watch. Hope you guys enjoy the Masters, and I will see you guys on Friday. Colin will see you guys next Monday, and we'll all see you at the Draft Night Special, live on YouTube, April 24th. Catch you guys later. Peace.